The Old Testament reading comes from Leviticus chapter 25, and you find that on page 122 of the Church Bibles. The Lord said to Moses on Mount Sinai, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, 'When you enter the land I'm going to give you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years, sow your fields, and for 6 years, prune your vineyards and gather their crops. But in the 7th year, the land is to have a Sabbath of rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. Do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the grapes of your untended vines. The land is to have a year of rest. Whatever the land yields during the 7th year will be food for you, for yourself, your manservant and maidservant, and the hired worker and the temporary resident who live among you, as well as for your livestock and the wild animals in your land. Whatever the land produces may be eaten. Count off 7 Sabbaths of years, 7 times 7 years, so that the 7 Sabbaths of years amount to a period of 49 years. Then have the trumpet sounded everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. Sound the trumpet throughout your land. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each one of you is to return to his family property and each to his own clan. The 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. Do not sow and do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the untended vines, for it is a jubilee and it is to be holy for you. Eat only what is taken directly from the fields. In this year of jubilee, everyone is to return to his own property. If you sell land to one of your countrymen or buy any from him, do not take advantage of each other. You are to buy from your countrymen on the basis of the number of years since the jubilee, and he is to sell to you on the basis of the number of years left for harvesting crops. When the years are many, you are to increase the price, and when the years are few, you are to decrease the price, because what he is really selling you is the number of crops. Do not take advantage of each other, but fear your God. I am the Lord your God. Follow my decrees and be careful to obey my laws, and you will live safely in the land. Then the land will yield its fruits, and you will eat your fill and live there in safety. You may ask, what will we eat in the 7th year if we do not plant or harvest our crops? I will send you such a blessing in the 6th year that the land will yield enough for 3 years. While you plant during the 8th year, you will eat from the old crop and will continue to eat from it until the harvest of the 9th year comes in. The land must not be sold permanently because the land is mine and you are but aliens and my tenants. Throughout the country that you hold as a possession, you must provide for the redemption of the land."
The second reading comes from Luke chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. And it can be found on page 1033 in the Church Bibles. Luke chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. A crippled woman is healed on the Sabbath. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit. For 18 years, she was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work. So come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with the wonderful things he was doing.
Good morning. I don't know about you, but I found it a bit of a grim week. One can only watch so many fires in so many places burning without getting pretty much depressed. It was interesting, one of our first songs was about not being conquered by the fire or the drought or any of those things, but Jesus has conquered them all. And so when I come to this sermon today, it does touch on some of those things, and the material was chosen over a month ago, and I don't want anybody to read political statements or other things into this sermon. They are not intended. It's just what God's given me to preach. A few Sundays ago, I preached on what the Bible calls Sabbath, or one in seven rest. And that first sermon was about entering our Sabbath rest, which we do by receiving and resting in God's love and in His grace and His forgiveness. That's how we rest spiritually in God. Stop doing works or trying to please Him. The Lord Jesus has done that for us. Today's sermon is about how, once we've entered that place of rest in God, what difference it can make in the way we live. So let me pray and then we'll do that. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the new covenant we have in Christ, and that the Sabbath law, like all old covenant law, has not been abolished but fulfilled in Him. We hear His new commandments to abide in You and in Him, and to love one another as He has loved us. And Father, Your psalmist says how Your law is perfect altogether, and like much fine gold and sweeter than honey. By Your Spirit, help us to desire, receive, and understand it above all riches. Today particularly, help us to hear and understand how Your Sabbath law, as an example, is a gift to enable us to abide in You, love You, and love one another. Amen. In the beginning, rest does not appear to require a Sabbath. Why would it? We get dehydrated, we drink. We get tired, we rest. But in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5 in the Ten Commandments, Sabbath rest is not the same as ordinary personal rest. It is different. For Sabbath rest is not primarily for us at all. We can, to a large extent, choose when we rest. Others can't. Indeed, someone you know may have the opposite problem. There may be too much rest going on in their case. The point is, you are not a slave or an asylum seeker or a working animal or a piece of land, all of which are under some form of control by others. Or at this time, you are not fighting or fleeing fires, which are out of control, and you cannot rest. We don't mostly need the goodwill of others or the weather to enable us to rest. We have a choice. We may remember from last week that the motivation for keeping the Sabbath is to remember that we were slaves. In the case of the Israelites, they'd been slaves in Egypt, working 7 days, working all the time. They were slaves. God rescued them. And I reminded us last week that we have been rescued from sin and darkness in the same way. By God's mighty arm, we have been rescued and given a new life, a life where we rest in God. In other words, God is saying, remember that back then you didn't get to choose when you could rest. So new covenant Christians, us, now, when we can, by grace, choose. We choose to meet together on a Sunday as our seventh day, Resurrection Day, to remember that in Christ we have been rescued from slavery and brought into the kingdom of God as his adopted children. We come as God's listening people to hear his words. What does he say today? The word of God today says, as it often does, as it mostly does, familiarly, do unto others as God has already done for you. The reason Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 14 gives for the Sabbath is this. Neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, or any of your animals are to work, nor any foreigner residing in your town. Why? Why do you do this? So that your male and female servants, so that your servants, your slaves, may rest as you do. Sabbath rest is a way for us who are free to rest when we choose, but also to grant, insofar as we can, rest to those people and things that can't. The commandment was given uniquely to Israel, which could enforce it by law. This was done by making sure that it was not possible for anyone to work on the Sabbath day, thereby guaranteeing that everyone could and would rest. But we do not live in ancient Israel. How are we to live out the Sabbath in our Christian-influenced but secular society? One person has said that some Christians today can be like school kids who, when they are given their homework, do it by looking up the answers in the back before they work out how to do it properly. Now, I know that you, being an intelligent and highly motivated congregation, would not want easy answers, would you? No, definitely not. You know, don't you, that the answers to life's problems are hard won through thinking and working and communicating, talking, praying, and maybe making mistakes. Maybe making lots of them. Whoops. Let's go back one there. I come now to restoration. The Sabbath principle observes that in broad terms, everyone and everything needs rest so as to be restored, both spiritually and physically. One in seven seems to work well, but it does not stop with weekly rest. As we read in Leviticus today, the land itself was to be allowed to rest. Here we have some of it. I won't read it all through, but you will have seen that the point is that it says, when you enter the land I am going to give you, not your land, land you are being given, the land itself must observe a Sabbath to the Lord. And then it goes on to say how every 7 years you don't sow it, you let it fallow, and that actually takes 3 years because of the year before, the year to plant the seed, then eat last year's seed and so on. Our first Australians, they talk about walking lightly on the land. Is that similar? I think perhaps it is. As national parks burn, some ask, is allowing the land to rest perpetually without actually stewarding it in some better way a good policy? My cousin says to me that if he could have grazed his cattle in the national parks, he would say that, wouldn't he? He's a cattleman. The fires would not now be so bad. Well, he has an economic interest in saying that, but he does know the land. So I listen to him. And as I believe going forward, we are going to need to listen to a lot of people who have good advice and good knowledge to give us, not least our Indigenous people, our first Australians. Trust. If we are to walk more lightly on the land and don't fully use our resources to their suggested optimum, people may ask a question like that asked in verse 20. Is that there? You may ask. What will we eat? How will we survive if we don't use everything we've got all the time to its maximum? And God says, I will send you such a blessing in the sixth year that the land will yield enough for 3 years. In other words, if we follow God's guidelines for life, the natural result always is blessing. That is blessing. God has given us a world to live in with wonderful things, and we are blessed. But we can ruin it. If we are greedy and rapacious and exploit people and things, including the land, the result is curse. We will suffer. But to follow God's way instead of our way requires trust in God and action based on that trust, that the Lord is good. In Kenya, particularly, the minister will say, the Lord is good. And the people say, do you know? That's right, all of the time. And why do they say that? Because there are so many things that challenge us, and God is not good. And we think and we pray and we read his word to see how he is always wanting our good. But we have to follow his guidelines. And we're not always good at that because we follow our own ways. Also, to follow God's way instead of our way requires trust and action, but it also requires that enough for us is God's version of enough and not our version of what is enough. Stewardship. The Sabbath reminds us that we are not owners but stewards of our possessions. The principle is in verse 23. The land must not be sold permanently because the land is mine and you reside in my land as foreigners and strangers. This is the promised land. But see what God says. I'm giving you this land for your possession, but you're just stewards, foreigners and strangers. Throughout the land that you hold as a possession, you must provide for the redemption of the land. And as an example of that, earlier in verses 8 to 10, count off seven Sabbath years, seven times 7 years, so that the seven Sabbath years amount to a period of 49 years. This is the 50 years. This is the Jubilee. Many countries and a number of governments have been part of the Jubilee movements over many years now. The whole aim of them is to forgive poor countries their debts, and especially the crippling interest repayments to rich countries and to multinationals. Africa, I see, gets blamed for a lot of the problems with climate change and to a lesser extent South America, but they have no money, because all of their wealth has been taken away by others. And that suddenly they're expected to not do what rich countries did in the past. Well, turn the corner a bit. Generosity. In Deuteronomy 15, we read, verse 1, at the end of every 7 years, you must cancel debts. And there are a lot of details about how debts are to be cancelled, because it's at the end of a period of 7 years. But the verses that took my attention, which I think are fairly self-explanatory, are these. Let me read a bit of them. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Be careful not to harbour this coming up wicked thought. Ha-ha, the seventh year, the year for cancelling debts is near. So that you do not show ill will toward the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you and you will be found guilty of sin. Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in the land. Human slavery and trafficking come in many forms, but the most common form of slavery in the world today is understood to be some form of economic slavery. One estimate I read was about 40 million people. And this occurs when people sell themselves or their children into bonded labour to repay debts, but they are never able to repay the debts. This means that it is descent-based, so that generation after generation are enslaved perpetually. And unless someone intervenes, they never rest. There are many organisations in the world that seek to intervene. The one I support is IJM, the International Justice Mission, which is Christian-based, but there are many others, some international, some local. But they are worth supporting. To the end. Enjoyment, thankfulness, and worship. There are many more things to say about the Sabbath, and I've used just a few examples of how we might think about it. But I'd like to finish with this one. If you do nothing, that's not rest. Doing nothing is not rest. If you're unemployed, you don't really rest in the same way as you do when you rest from labour. But without a period of rest from labour, the results of labour can never really be appreciated to stop and enjoy what you've done and made and achieved. God's rest is the rest of delight and enjoyment of his works. And we who are made in his image were created to do the same, to enjoy his works and ours, we who are made in his image. We need to stop, take time to appreciate what God has done for us and will do for us when we work with him. And when we do that, we lift up our hearts with thankfulness that all God has given us, rather than seeing too much what we don't have. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you give us. Help us to know and rest in having enough. We look to the hope of rest that our physical bodies will receive in the resurrection. We pray for those who are unemployed, either in body or in mind. Help us as your body of Christ here to be inclusive, to include everyone in both your work and your rest. Help us to heal the sick, feed the hungry, and set the captives free. In the name of him who did and who enables all these things, he who is Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.